Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من يتق الله يجعل له من أمره يسرا. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا تسن صفوفكم أو يخلفن الله بين وجوهكم. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين وشاكرين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. Now we are on lesson number 52 concerning wisdoms of action. In lesson number 51, we discussed why we make masah on leather socks. Various angles we looked at it from, and we spoke about the logic, the rationale, and the pros and the cons, and few masail we mentioned. Today in lesson 52, we will start discussing the method of performing ghusl, number one, and why are the hands to be washed before beginning the ghusl, and the reasons for washing the private part immediately upon commencing the ghusl. Also, that the reasons for performing wuzu at the beginning of the ghusl, and why are the feet washed thereafter. First of all, the method of performing ghusl. The method of performing ghusl upon which the Ummah has agreed to has been narrated by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, as well as Hazrat Maimuna radiallahu ta'ala anha. In the hadiths reported by Bukhari and Muslim, the method is to first wash the hands before immersing them into the container of water. Then any impurities on the private parts or other parts of the body are to be washed out. Wuzu, as for salat, is then to be performed, followed by rubbing water into the roots of the hairs with wet fingers. Thereafter, water is to be poured over the entire body. While scholars agree on this entire simple method, the only contention concerns when the feet are to be washed, while making the wuzu or after the entire ghusl. So the method that has been explained, they wash the hands first, then wash the impurities of the private parts, if they are there, or if there is any impurity on any part of the body, wash it. Then make a wuzu, same wuzu, like you make for salah. Then you rub the water, let the water reach the roots of the hair. And then let the water go to the entire body. But the question arises, when does one wash the feet? at the starting or the end, when making wuzu or after the entire ghusl. While the scholars hold one of the two opinions, that is, to wash the feet while making the wuzu or after the entire ghusl, there are some who say, if the place where the ghusl, if performed, is such that the water accumulates, then the feet are to be washed after the ghusl. On the other hand, if water does not accumulate, the feet may be washed with the wuzu. Generally, for example, in South Africa, because we, most of the time, even if you're using the bucket system or the shower, but the water flows away immediately. So it is not the question whether you use a bucket system or you use the shower system, but the water flowing away immediately when you pour the water on the body, that is where the masala of washing the feet will come about. If the water accumulates, then you wash after ghusl. And as I stated, in most cases in our areas, the water does not accumulate. Then you wash the feet, you may wash the feet with the wuzu. That means you wash the hands first, then you wash all the impurities out, then you make wuzu as in salat, and if the water is flowing away, not accumulating, then you wash the feet. And then you pour water on the entire hair after letting the water touch and go into all the roots of the hair with wet fingers. Now, respected listeners, the question arises, why are the hands to be washed before beginning the ghusl? Because as we have stated there clearly, that we must wash the hands before immersing them into the container of water. The reason for washing the hands before, that means before ghusl, we discuss now. The reason here is the same as was mentioned in the discussion of wuzu. Washing them is to cleanse the hand from any impurities that may have settled on them. A possibility that is especially great when a person emerged from a situation that necessitated ghusl. Therefore, using the water without first washing the hands would contaminate the water and is also contrary to civil and upright behavior. So why do we wash the hands before making the actual ghusl? It's the same reasons why we wash the hands and when we get up, and why we wash the hands the first when we making wuzu. Because washing the hands, we remove any impurities. Because there is great possibility that a person's hands can be soiled with impurity, and this will contaminate the water. Generally, remember that in many countries, even when they have the shower facilities where the water is pouring from top, and they still utilize the bucket systems. So you have to wash the hands Otherwise, you would hold a container and immerse that container, a jug, etc., into the bucket of water. And you would contaminate that water and make it impure. And when that water is impure, you cannot make purity with it. You cannot attain purity with it. Therefore, you have to wash the hands and then also wash your body. Even if the water is pouring down from top, then it is civil and upright behavior that you wash your hands first. Otherwise, you are going to take your soiled hands and then rub it on your body, which is contrary to civil mannerism and upright, righteous behavior. When you wash your hands, even if you're standing under the shower, that means your hands are clean now. Now you can utilize your hands to rub the remaining part of your body. Because if your hands are impure and you start going under the shower, then how are you going to utilize your impure hands, which are soiled with impurity, to attain purity? Which means that you're going to take your impure hands and apply them with the running water and spread the impurity on your body. So that is why the Sharia is saying that wash your hands. When you wash your hands, now any impurity, whether it is there, because it is highly probable and possible that it is there, then you will remove it. And once your hands are clean, that means your equipment, your means of attaining purity by applying the hands on the other part of the body, your equipment is clean. And your hand, which is your equipment, you're going to use it to clean the remaining part of the body. Now, the question arises that why must we wash the private parts immediately upon commencing the ghusl? First of all, we washed our hands because we could utilize our hands to remove any other impurities that are there. And we could use our hands as an instrument to clean the remaining parts of our body. But then the second question arises, that why must we clean the private parts immediately? Number one, that remember there are two reasons for this. If the private parts or any other parts with impurities are not washed immediately, the possibility is great that the impurities will spread to other parts of the body, thereby making it more complicated to attain purity, and also after that one will have to use more water. This obviously is pertaining to when the ghusl is farz in nature, and obviously there is going to be impurities, and the areas of impurities will have to be washed. Otherwise, it's going to spread from there. So the area where the impurity and the highly possible that they are there, so you remove that first. When you remove that, then the possibility of using more water and the possibility of spreading is minimal. Secondly, since the ghusl has been instituted to cleanse the body of najasat-e-hukmiyah, that is hadas-e-akbar, ghusl done while impurities are on the body will extend the purpose of ghusl to a means of cleaning the body from najasat-e-hukmiyah as well as najasat-e-hakiki. The ghusl will therefore not be done with the express purpose of cleaning the body from najasat-e-hukmiyah. What we are saying here, that when we have made a special intention that we are cleaning the body to remove najasati hukmiya, that is hadas akbar, then we must fulfill that purpose and we must clean that area which is responsible for the najasati hukmiya. When we do this directly, then we are sorting the problem out directly, we are solving the problem directly, and we are going direct to the problem, and we have got express purpose of cleansing the body from najasati hukmiya. Otherwise, we will not be addressing the situation. Now, the reasons for performing wuzu at the beginning of ghusl. Remember that three things we did when we were making ghusl. One is that we washed our hands before ghusl. Two, that we washed the private parts before commencing ghusl. And three, that we made wuzu at the beginning of ghusl. Two out of three we have explained. Why are the hands washed before beginning the ghusl? We have explained that. And we have explained two reasons why private parts are washed immediately upon commencing ghusl. Now, there are three reasons for performing wuzu at the beginning of the ghusl. Number one, since ghusl is the greater form of attaining cleanliness, it is appropriate that it is to be made up of the lesser form of cleanliness and others. Lesser form of cleanliness, wuzu. This is necessary so that the soul is well aware of the fact that it has been cleansed. Now, when we make wuzu, we are preparing the body for ghusl. We make wuzu, the soul is aware that the entire body is now going to be cleansed. And also, that before doing something major, the Sharia generally wants us to do something minor. Do we not see that even when it comes to the first salat, the soul wants us to perform some sunnah which is less in status than the farz, and then we do the actual farz to prepare the soul for the major, some minor activity is done first. In this case, the ghusl is major, the wuzu is minor. So the minor wuzu is done, preparing ourselves so we can do the major comfortably. Secondly, since it is necessary when making ghusl that the holes and the grooves of the body are cleaned, performing wuzu ensures that this is carried out properly. Because if the person makes ghusl directly, then perchance he may not reach the holes and the grooves of the body. Like in wuzu, a person is cautious that he will let the water go into the holes and the grooves, and he will let the water go into the mouth properly, into the ears properly, into the nostrils properly, and he make the water go behind the ears properly, and he'll see that the water, and we have discussed this at length, that behind the ankles, etc., he will let the water go, and also he will make sure while he's making wuzu that the water is going between the toes so that there is no area that is left dry. That is why he will make the wuzu so that the khilal will also be made, and all areas of doubt, that means those holes and grooves between the toes, by the eyes and the nostrils, the ears, and by the ankles, and all areas where water generally does not reach casually. Now the person, when he makes wuzu before ghusl, will make sure that the wuzu water goes in those areas. If water is poured over the body without first making wuzu, the possibility is great that the water does not reach all the limbs properly, and some portions of the body would therefore be left dry. Therefore, we make the wuzu properly, thoroughly, before the ghusl. Thirdly, after getting into the state of janabat, the outer part of the body gets heated up, and if water is poured immediately over the body, the possibility of catching a cold or any other illness is great. This heat is therefore suppressed by the wuzu, and a person will not be in danger of falling ill when pouring water over the entire body all at once. For example, at times when you come out of a dry area and all of a sudden if you are pushed into the pool, then you will get choked up. Why? Because water has touched the entire body too quickly. Also, if you are walking and all of a sudden it rains and you get drenched, then there's a high possibility of getting sick. Why? Because water has touched the entire body too quickly. Or if a person is walking and someone throws a bucket of water on you, then you are going to get shocked again, because your body is at one temperature and the cold water all of a sudden all upon you will lead to some ailment or sickness, or you'll catch a cold. Or if a person is walking and goes under a drain pipe and the water is pouring there, that person is going to get shocked up or catch a cold or some ailment. Therefore, that heat of the body has to be neutralized, or that heat of the body has to get accustomed, that by making wuzu, that body is now in contact with water. When the body is in contact with water, then the remaining body becomes accustomed or is getting ready that now there is going to be water poured over my entire body. Now, alhamdulillah, we have discussed that why we wash our hands before making ghusl, why we wash our private parts before commencing the ghusl, and also we have discussed the reason for performing wuzu at the beginning of ghusl. Now the question arises, why are the feet to be washed afterwards? As we have explained, when the feet are washed with the wuzu, it will be necessary to wash them again at the end when water accumulates on the floor of the place where the ghusl is taken. This will result in unnecessary repetition. The fact will, however, not be redundant when a person washes the feet with the wuzu, with the intention of perfecting the wuzu, and then washes them again after to cleanse them. So a person must or can, that starting of the wuzu, wash the feet. That means starting of the ghusl, wash the feet, and then at the end again wash the feet. So irrespective whether the water was accumulating at the feet or the water was not accumulating at the feet. In some areas, that water accumulates at the feet. Now, in that area, what a person has to do is wait for that water to go away and then wash the feet at the end of the ghusl. And if the water accumulates and does not go away, then that person has to come out of that area. Because remember that in most cases that water, especially if it is a ghusl for janabat, that water that had passed on the body is now impure. And if that water is impure, it cannot make pure. Now that person, if he is standing in the pool of water, then technically speaking, that person is standing in a pool of impure water. He will have to come out of that pool of water and wash the feet again. In the beginning, that person washed the feet, but because that person is standing in a pool of water, that person will have to, at the end of the ghusl, rewash. And this rewashing will now complete the ghusl. And this law of washing the feet at the end or beginning will be determined by the flowing of the water, whether the water accumulates on the floor or not. Now we mention some mustahab acts of ghusl. Mustahab acts of ghusl, the preferable acts of ghusl. Mustahab you can translate as preferable, something that is liked, or something that is ethics or mannerism. And in Islam, because it is complete and perfect, we should worry about all aspects, whether they are mustahab, sunnat, wajib, farz, and all mustahab acts will create beautification in that action. There are four mustahab actions. One is washing all the limbs thrice. Remember that in wuzu, obviously, that a person is going to wash the limbs thrice. But in ghusl also, let that water pass over the entire body thrice. When the water is passing over the entire body thrice, then the mustahab will be attained, reward will be received, reward one will get. Secondly, that rubbing the body while washing to clean the skin properly. Washing all the limbs thrice, that is to make sure that no area is left dry. Because if any area is left dry, then obviously the wuzu is not complete, the wuzu ghusl is not complete. If the ghusl is not complete, then the person is not pure, is not pak. That is why washing thrice. Now, rubbing the body while washing to clean the skin properly, that is due to cleanliness, that is due to hygiene, and also to make sure that water has reached everywhere, properly, thoroughly. Thirdly, ensuring that the water reaches all the grooves and holes of the body so that they are washed well. This, as we have explained, will be covered when a person makes the wuzu. And we have explained that this is the wisdom of making the wuzu before the ghusl, so that the water reaches the grooves and the holes properly and thoroughly. Otherwise, the wuzu will be imperfect. As a result, the ghusl will be imperfect. As a result, the person will not be classified pure. Number four, to take the ghusl in a secluded place. Now this is natural and obvious, and it is part of culture and uprightness that a person should make sure that the ghusl is done in an area where it is secluded and it is not public, and it is not a place where everybody can see. That's why in seclusion, so that a person can make the wuzu properly, the ghusl properly. These mustahab acts have been ordained to ensure that the ghusl is perfect and complete. However, because water is scarce in some countries of the world, the Sharia has taken this into consideration. Therefore, the complete wuzu can be completed with minimum amount of water, which is less than 53, I will discuss that how much of water we require for wuzu and how much of water one requires for ghusl. Because we know we should not be wasting water. Inshallah, when we come back next week, we discuss lesson 53 and we start discussing about modesty, the reason why special importance is given to the ghusl of hayz. And then we will also discuss the amount of water required for wuzu and ghusl. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.